Blog Talk Radio.
This is George Gamond, and welcome to the Thursday show. It is Thursday, isn't it? It's still Thursday? I don't know. Maybe it's not Thursday where you're at. Maybe you're in some far-out country somewhere on the other side of the world, and it's not Thursday. That's kind of an interesting concept, isn't it, that we reach out just through the internet, through Skype. We can reach out to all over the world. I broadcast this over Skype, if you didn't know that, so just a little secret about this show and Blog Talk Radio. So, how is everybody? You having a great day? I don't see I have anybody. Nobody in queue. Nobody in the chat room. I guess nobody wants to get a message from ancestors today. That's okay. We if you want to, we can, you know, call in. We'll see what your ancestors. I did some past life work with people at. So we can do that. Whatever you want to do, right? Whatever you want to do, we can do it. But I want to have some fun. I thought, you know, visualization. I've been reading this book by a gentleman named David R. Hamilton. Not related to Alexander Hamilton. Actually, David R. Hamilton is from Scotland. And listening to a video of his the other day, this really loud Scottish brogue. Distinct Scottish brogue. So, but the whole idea was about visualization, visualizing what you want in life. So I thought we would get into visualization and healing through visualization. You got any problems? You anything healed in your life? You can visualize it. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some ideas on how to visualize. And we'll go there. And I have some articles I wanted to jump into and have some fun with. And one was about stress and all that. So, and how to unstress by eating certain foods. And I thought we'd get into that. Maybe I'll go there and let my spirit guides talk to you about whatever they want. And on whatever subject they want to get into. Because yesterday they made some interesting points. And I kind of remember a little bit about it. They talked about violence in the world, you know, all the violence that's in the United States, all this, you know, with this group against that group and blah, blah, blah. And they made a comment that, you know, obviously you need to defend yourself. And obviously you need to take care of yourself. And obviously in some situations, you either need to kind of flee from the situation or defend yourself in certain ways, right? But they said that violence will never overcome violence. Violence will never resolve the situations completely. So we'll leave it at that. But I thought that was an interesting point. Having violence to counteract violence never works because it always leads to more violence. And I know people are going to say, well, what about World War II and stuff like that? But that was really defending themselves. The United States defended itself from Germany and Japan. Had to. They would overrun the country. Yes, there's a great series on Amazon called Man in the High Castle, and it's based on this concept of what if the Germans and the Japanese had won World War II, and what would the United States be like? And it was based on the concept, this is 1962 and years after the war, and what would it be like? So that didn't look, it's not a pretty picture, not a pretty picture. I don't know why I'm going all there into this subject matter, but I thought I would drift off into something different. So if you want to talk to your ancestors, give me a call. If you want to get a past life reading, give me a call. And whatever's going on in your life, right? Whatever's going on. What is going on in your lives? What's going on? So before I let my spirit guides, you know what? I think I'll let my spirit guides talk to you a little bit on what they want to talk about today. I think it's going to be a little softer than yesterday. Yesterday was pretty intense because they were making a lot of comments about. So if you want to listen to the yesterday's show and listen to them about what they had to say about the violence that's going on, please do. But I'll let them talk to you now. Now, my spirit guide, it's a group. It's called Sarah. It's a group of spiritual teachers, and they come in and out. It isn't necessarily the same members of the group every day or every time I channel. They channel for other people. They go by different names. It just depends on the individual. Okay, so you know, it really just depends. It's not a set person, right? It's not a set one person that they channel through. Okay. So just so you know that it's not an exclusive thing through George, but they'll use different names. I mean, it could be like Abraham Group, right? Who knows? Right. I don't know what else. Maybe it's, I don't know. Okay. So I'm going to go away, let them speak to you for a few minutes, and then we'll get into some articles. We'll talk about visualization. I have a great article. I've used it before. And it's from Jack Canfield, and it's about visualization, and it's an exercise that you can do, and I'll let you do it. And you can use this exercise for a lot of different things. You can use it for illness. You can use the visualization for creating what you want in life. There's lots of different ways. But first and foremost, we'll let my spirit guides talk to you about whatever they want to talk to you about, and then we'll have some more fun, because isn't it really all about having fun? Should be. We should enjoy life, right? Being happy, having fun. You know, it's that expression, if it's not play, I don't want to do it. If it's not fun, I don't want to do it. Or you can convert anything into fun or play. My mother used to say that. Whatever you're doing, make it play. Washing dishes, make it play. Don't break all the dishes, though. You know, don't do that. You know, if you're cleaning the floors, make it a game. Make life a game. And if you make everything a game, it really is more interesting. You know, can I compete with myself today to clean the floors the fastest I've ever done it? That makes it a game, right? How much dirt can I pick up today? Okay, never mind. We'll let my spirit guide talk to you. Oops, my headset's kind of wandering around. Doesn't want to stay in place. Hopefully you can hear me. We like the idea of life being play and life being fun. Now, the idea of a game can either be very, very positive or to some degree negative. Now, if you're competing with other people and you're always trying to beat other people and be more competitive than other people, you'll lose. You'll lose from time to time. You won't always achieve it. And you could get very frustrated, and you could get depressed because this person is better at this than you are. This person's a better accountant than you are, a better lawyer than you are, or a better janitor than you are. So making it a game can be really, really good, but also can be very negative if you're always competing with other people, you know, relatives, friends. That can be really depressing for people because you just may not live up to another person because they may have more talent in a certain area. We say all this because we would say to you, if you're going to make it a game, compete with yourself. Always in that constant mode of improvement. Always doing something to do it better the next time. Now, you may not, and that's okay. You may fall short. And each time you fall short, you can strive to make it a little bit better next time. But don't take the fun out of it. Don't take the joy out of it. Don't make it so competitive, even with yourself, that you lose the fun part of what you're doing. If you stop smiling while you're doing something, if you stop laughing while you're doing things, if you stop all of that, especially the smile, you don't have to be laughing, but just smile while you're doing things. If you take that away, then it becomes drudgery. Then it becomes difficult. Then it becomes hard. And you don't want anything you do in your life to be so hard, so difficult that you lose your spirit, your energy, that fun spirit of what you're doing. Now, that raises an interesting question for all of you. because you're going to say to us, you're going to say, but my job is difficult. My job is challenging. And we would say to you, what are the rewards? What do you get from other than money, monetary reimbursement for doing what you do? What do you get from it? You get a sense of satisfaction. You get a sense of joy of accomplishing what you're going to accomplish. Do you love what you do? Do you enjoy the process of what you do? Are you really into the process of what you do? Whatever it is, are you really into it? When you're in the middle of something, do you lose track of time? Do you just get so involved in what you're doing and in accomplishing what you want to do, and you're smiling, you're having fun? Or you could be very serious still. You could be very determined, but you're in the middle of it. And then when you reach the end of whatever you're doing, you have this feeling of accomplishment, this euphoric feeling that you did a great thing. You did a good thing. You accomplished something, whatever it is. You know, if you're doing brain surgery, you may not be laughing while doing brain surgery, but you are focused and you know you're going to accomplish something, and you know you're really good at doing something like that, and you know that you're benefiting another human being in an amazing way, and you just have this feeling of accomplishment, and you just get locked in and lost in that process. It could be brain surgery. It could be cleaning floors. It could be fixing a car. It could be a myriad of occupations and tasks that you do. It could be washing dishes or putting dishes in the dishwasher or cooking. George loves to cook. He gets involved in cooking. He gets involved in, you know, what spices, and kind of an intuitive thing of what to put in, what not to put in. So that's the point. The point of all this is whatever you're doing, make it something enjoyable for you. Really love what you're doing. Really feel connected to what you're doing. Now, we're going off a little different tangent here. We're not talking about visualization, but we could tie that into visualization. We could say that whatever you're doing, visualize the outcome. Visualize the outcome that you want to achieve before you get into whatever project you're doing, whatever situation you are in life. Learn how to visualize the outcome. Prepave the outcome. That's part of the law of attraction that George and other people talk about. It's the law of attracting what you want in life, attracting the outcome that you want. Because you're visualizing the outcome, you're working with your own mental process, your own energies to connect with the universe, to create a pattern in your life, laying out a pattern of what's going to take place. And through that connection, you make the imaginary, the visualization, real, because you've created it in a non-physical form, and you bring it into a physical form. Now, we're not going to get into all the details of how that happens, but it does happen. It happens all the time, and people use it all the time, and it's an amazing thing to do. So what we're trying to present to you is this idea that, yeah, you can do it. You can do it every time. Visualize the outcome. Whatever you're doing, you're building a house. Visualize the house, what it's supposed to look like at the end. What does it look like? You take the architectural plans and you visualize the outcome and what you're working towards, and it becomes real. You know what you're doing. You know what you're trying to accomplish, right? You're a brain surgeon. You visualize the outcome of what it's going to look like and what the person's going to be after you're finished with the surgery. You're a school teacher. You visualize the class before you go into the class. You visualize what you're going to present, how the students are going to react to what you're doing. And so you've pre-programmed the situation, and that energy, that flow, that cosmic flow, if we can use that word, will assist you in creating the outcome that you intend. Now, how much should you do? How much visualization should you do? Before an event, before you do something, before you take on a task, take a few minutes. Visualize it. Take a few minutes and visualize the outcome that you want. Now, we're not going to do that here with you. George has some techniques on visualization that he'd like to present and how you can do that. But the important thing is, visualize it being fun. Visualize it you laughing or you're smiling, you're feeling good about the process. Visualize yourself in a situation accomplishing something, and it feels so good to do it. It feels so right to do this. This is something I'm here to do. And continue doing that every day. Set the intention every day to visualize the outcome that you want. So we'll leave you with that. We'll leave you with the idea that whatever you intend to do in life, visualize the outcome that you want. Visualize the end result that you want. Visualize that. Make sure it feels good. It's got to feel good. Okay? Whatever it is. And life will be amazing. You'll accomplish a lot more because you've set the environment, set the energy field, set the creative process and works to work towards that goal. So think about that and practice visualizing what you want. And we'll talk to you another time. Bye. Okay. I'm back. You know, I had people trying to text me or something during this whole thing, and I'm trying to focus on spirit. Okay, so. So here we're back. Okay, I'm back. Okay, sorry, I'm back. So we'll have some fun. We'll do a thing on visualization, but I thought I'd throw an article out there. If anybody wants to talk to an ancestor, contact me. And they'll probably tell you something very similar, won't they? They'll probably tell you to do something about creating what you want in your life and what you need to do to create more of what you want in your life. Because it's really all about, you can present it to the universe. You can ask for it. You can ask God, I want this, I want that. But there's always an action part of that. There's always something that you end up needing to do to create it. So, and then you kind of visualize the outcome and see yourself doing it. It's fun. It really is a lot of fun. So what we're going to do, we're going to talk about foods for a minute, and then we're going to get into visualization, because I like this article a lot. Feeling stressed, add these five foods. Food is not a food. Food is a food, right? Meditation, exercise, and quality sleep are all powerful ways to de-stress. This is from the Today Show, and articles from the Today Show. And the author of this is Carrie Glassman, RD, registered dietitian. I believe that's what it stands for. Anybody correct me on that if you want. That's what I think it's. Registered dietitian, but I could be wrong. But the good mood food thing is real. Ooh, five foods work to contribute to reducing stress and anxiety. Read on and eat up. Now, think about it for a moment. We're going to get you five foods that you could do to help you de-stress, and it's a chemical process. Eating the foods is fun sometimes too, and that makes you feel good just eating these foods. But it's actually what it's doing to your body and your brain that's the most important thing, right? Okay. Avocado is number one. I don't necessarily believe that these are in order of importance. If avocados are not number one on your list, well, there's other ones in here that are just as important or just as valuable to reducing stress. The favorite food of most people on Instagram is a high monounsaturated fatty fats, which fight inflammation, a cause for cellular stress, as well as numerous other anti-inflammatory compounds. Oh, sounds very technical, does it? But that's reducing stress. The healthy fats in this fruit promote blood flow to the brain. And it's also linked to helping lower blood pressure. And if you're only been eating it on toast or chips, try it in a smoothie. Have you ever had an avocado smoothie? I've never had an avocado smoothie. I'm not sure what I would put in an avocado smoothie. Maybe I should look it up. What would you put? Anybody out there listening to the show that's done avocado smoothies? Well, listen to you. I'll check back with you guys now. Avocado smoothies, anyone? Anybody know what else you would put in there? to make an avocado smoothie? Because I don't think you put it in there by yourself. You just add water. What else would you add? Hot sauce? Nah, I don't think so. Maybe a little lime juice, you think? I don't know. Or lemon. So, anybody know tequila? I'm just kidding. No, we don't want to do the tequila part. But some people go, yeah, avocado smoothies with tequila and lime. That sounds good to me. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying that's, I don't know. So I'm going to look up avocado smoothies when I'm done here. Anybody have a recipe for avocado smoothies? I'd love to hear it. You can contact me. You can contact me through my website or my Facebook page or my email address or my phone number. And I offer that too for anybody that wants to, you know, get an intuitive life coach reading, as that's what I call it. Yes. So let's go on to the next food. We've kind of like done the thing with the avocados. We kind of worked avocados to death here. Okay. So let's do the next one. Now these, I know they're really good for you, but I don't eat them it's an allergy thing. And sometimes there's certain nuts that I have an allergy to. Okay. So cashews, a sweet nut for snacking indeed. And cashews are also a great source of zinc. A mineral that plays a major role in managing the body and brain's response to stress. You're all stressed out. You've had a tough day at work, and you come home and you have some cashews, right? Don't make them salted, though. I'm just kidding. You know, do whatever you want with them, right? Yeah. So it's been found that individuals with chronic anxiety show signs of improvement with zinc supplementation. Yeah, you know what I mean. If snacking on nuts isn't your thing, try this cashew sauce for dipping, or a cashew sauce. I guess you could buy the cashew jars. You can buy a cashew spread, I believe. They have almond spreads and almond butter, cashew butter spread maybe. Try that on your bread, on your toast. Dipping your tortillas in it, right? Whatever. Maybe you want to put some cashew sauce, cashew butter in with your avocados to make your smoothie. We're building this major smoothie here for the de-stressing smoothie. So we got the cashews and we got the almonds, and I'm not sure if they mix very well, but I'm not going to do this experiment. Now, the next one, I don't think I'd put it in a smoothie. Maybe not. Okay, but I definitely eat it every day. Dark chocolate. It's super dark, most natural state. In its super dark, most natural state, dark chocolate has been associated with higher levels of serotonin, a chemical responsible for regulating your mood. Okay, I'll leave that one alone. I know there's a joke in there about moods and mood swings, but we'll just leave it alone. It also contains magnesium, which may help have an effect on reducing anxiety. There is no excuse to eat a bag of M&Ms when your boss stresses you out, but replacing afternoon cookies and coffee with a half ounce of 7 to 85% dark chocolate and a green tea may do you some good. Yeah, I try to buy everything over 70% dark chocolate. I got some that are 85%. Well, you know, if you want the M&Ms, fine. You know, if they make you feel good and relax you and de-stress you, then do the M&Ms, right? I don't know about the coffee. How about chocolate chip cookies? Ooh, brownies. Okay, we're going off on a whole different tangent here. We're taking the chocolate thing to an extreme. But if you ate enough brownies, you might get sick to your stomach, but you would feel less stressed out, right? I haven't had a good brownie. I could buy vegan brownies. I made vegan brownies, and I think I'm going to make some more special vegan brownies one of these days. So we're talking about chocolate. We're just having fun today. We're going to talk about visualization for a little while if you just join me. But we're talking about five foods that help you de-stress. And to review the foods, we've had avocados, we've had cashews or cashew butter, and we've had dark chocolate. Now, so far we're building this smoothie. Now, the next one on the list, I don't think you want to put in the smoothie. And I don't think so. So I think the dark chocolate and the avocado and the cashews might go into the smoothie. I don't know. I know if you want to do a smoothie with avocados, I'm not sure what to put in it other than maybe a lemon or lime juice. Yeah. I don't know what else to put in a smoothie with avocados. I'm trying to think. Okay. So anybody know how to build an avocado smoothie? Maybe the cashew butter might work. I don't know. I'm not sure about that one. So we're having fun. So, okay, the next one's grapefruit. So, yeah, we're not doing the grapefruit in the smoothie, right? The citrus fruit is high in vitamin C, which has been shown to lower levels of cortisol in the body. The cortisol is that stress-related, high-stress kind of chemical that your body puts out in stressful situations, and it just attacks your organs, and it's not a fun thing to have in your system as much as possible. At least amount of it in your system as possible is really good. So, and reduce the physical and psychological damages effects of stress. We're talking grapefruit here. Now, I know some people can't have grapefruit because they're on certain medications that you can't have grapefruit with. I'm not sure what they are, but, you know, check with your doctor if you're on medications and see if you can have, or go online, Google it, Google your medication and whatever and how it relates to grapefruit. But if you aren't a fan of this tart citrus, try oranges or peppers, which are also high in this powerful vitamin. Peppers, like red peppers, chili peppers, are high in vitamin C. But I've been buying these peppers that are like really spicy. So you can only eat a little bit of them. You can eat a lot more oranges or grapefruit than chili peppers unless you're like so inclined to like absorb them and your eyes don't water and your tongue doesn't, you know, whatever, right? The lady who wrote this article said, I grew up eating broiled grapefruit regularly. It's broiled. It's not boiled. It's broiled grapefruit. I have no idea what that is. I've never done that. Okay, we're on to the last one. Well, I'm going to check back and see if you guys want to talk to me. And let me just do the last one before I take any calls. I do have a caller. But let me do the last food that de-stresses you. Then we'll take a call. Or two, or one, or then we'll get into visualization about, we could do the visualization about the de-stressing, but just a general visualization to attract whatever you want in your life, okay? Because I believe that you can, if you can visualize it, you can have it. Excuse me. If you can visualize something coming into your life, if you can visualize the outcome, if you can visualize yourself having that, you can get it. Even in athletic pursuits or whatever, if you can actually visualize yourself doing something, if you're not blocked from it, you can get it. Okay, so number five, leafy greens. Greens like spinach, kale, and broccoli or bee are filled with folic acid, a nutrient that helps maintain normal levels of serotonin. So kale, everybody eat kale? Everybody make kale chips? Kale chips are not bad. You know, you can do the kale. You take the leaf and you put it in the oven, and I put it in whatever degrees, 350, and I do parchment paper, and you season it. You put a little garlic and onion and powder on it, and I put turmeric on it because turmeric's really good for you. And then you put it in the oven, and it becomes crispy, and it becomes like a little chip. Now, if you let it sit in there too long, you have to time this well. Then it becomes, it just can becomes really flaky and falls apart. But you could do kale chips and sprinkle it on stuff. Now you could put your kale chips in with your avocado and your cashew butter to make your smoothie. Now we're talking a de-stress smoothie here. So if any of you know what goes with avocado in a smoothie, please tell me. Lunchtime salads are a great way to get your greens. We can also add them to the smoothies. Ooh, see? For your daily dose of greens. Now, so you want to do a green smoothie, which is different. You could do the spinach, and you could do the kale, and you could do the broccoli or bee, and you could do some others. That's the leafy part of the broccoli. Okay? It's all a different smoothie. I think I'm going to do a smoothie, but it's not this kind of smoothie. My smoothie has blueberries and strawberries, frozen stuff, and cherries and all that little almond milk. That's my smoothie for the day. I think I'm going to do that. So if you're interested in this lady, Nutrition Life Official is her Instagram thing. Anybody have figured out how to attach people to Instagram? I have not been able to do that. I don't know how to add people to Instagram. I can post to it, I can respond to people, but I have the hardest time adding people. If anybody knows how to do that, please tell me. Okay? I need a primer on adding people to Instagram. If you look me up on Instagram, you can find me. I'm kind of fun. I post all kinds of interesting motivational and pictures of my granddaughter. You know, my granddaughter is all over Instagram, right? Yeah, more so than me, and my dog and my cat, more than me. And then I do the 1 minute live things, or 1 minute, yeah, one little 1 minute shows on Instagram. Okay, I have a caller. So what we're doing is we're talking to dead people, ancestors. We're talking about visualization. And we're doing all these fun things today. We're trying to keep it light and fun and interesting, because we don't want to get too heavy and too serious, because the last few days have been just like off the chart, too serious in this world. It's like all these crazy people running around loose doing crazy stuff. And as Spirit said yesterday, you never can change violence with violence. There's other ways of doing it. And if you want to listen to yesterday's show, they have some really good ideas on how to get rid of violence in the world. So think about it. How can we counteract violence? I think Martin Luther King and Gandhi had some great ideas. And Nelson Mandela. They had some great ideas of overcoming violent people. Now, they did react, but they defended themselves. So we won't go there. So let me take a call, 256, and we'll get more into visualization. Actually, I'm kind of been chatting on and on today, right? Hello.
Hi, how are you? My name is Kimberly.
Well, how is Kimberly on this beautiful Thursday, whatever time it is in your part of the world?
I'm well. I'm on the East Coast, so it's 5:32. I'm well.
You smiling?
I am.
Well, that's the most important thing. If you can stay smiling, then you've got it knocked, right?
I agree. Totally.
So what's going on? What's going on? You want to hear from an ancestor?
Sure.
That's what it's all about.
Okay.
Today's show. Well, but I don't know what they're going to tell you, even if they'll come through. Sometimes they do.
Okay.
Sometimes they don't. So, mother's side of the family is what I get. Okay. But I'm getting it offline, so it's more like a great-grandmother or grandmother, but it's not them. It's like somebody associated with them, either a sister, like a great-great-aunt, or a friend of them, if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but they knew you were a little tiny critter. Little tiny critter. Not very big at all. Okay? So I don't know if you know this person.
Okay.
They know you. Okay, so they know you. Okay, let me make sure I'm get this clear, because I try not to let my own stuff get in the way. Okay, they're telling me they're reciting to me a song by the Eagles, which is weird. But they're saying, or whoever this is saying, take it to the limit one more time. So whatever you're doing in your life, you got to take it to the limit. You can't back down. You can't do an 80% or a 90%. You have to do 99 or 100%. I don't know what that means, and if it means something to you, cool. If it doesn't, then I'm way off track here. But they're saying and when they say take it to the limit one more time, so it's a repeated process in your life that you need to continue do something fully, completely, and finish it at up to 100%. Now, I don't know if that means anything to you, but that's what I get. Okay? And it has to do with money. It has to do with money. For some reason, it has to do with money. That's the next thing I heard, was it has to do with money. Yeah, money. It's not about relationships. It's not a boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, like that husband-wife thing. It's all about taking whatever you're doing and completely getting it done as to money. Don't slack off. Don't stop. Just keep going. So if that means anything to you, cool. If it doesn't, then I'm got the wrong person, I guess. Okay?
Okay.
Maybe it's meant for somebody in the chat room. I don't know. But does that mean anything to you at all?
Yes, it does.
Okay, good. Then go for it. Make sure you do it. Okay. The other thing I hear in that is don't let other people try to persuade you from pursuing your goals in this area about as to money. Don't let what they call naysayers try to keep you from doing what you need to do, because you'll win out in the end, but you have to stay consistent and on top of it constantly. Okay?
Okay.
You're welcome. You take care.
All right.
Bye now.
You're saying it feels like what?
Oops. Well, wait a minute. See, now she went away and she's back. Okay. It feels like what? It feels like money. That's what I said. Money.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Cha-ching,
well,
cha-ching,
I
you know. Okay.
I'm in the process of writing a book. So,
well,
I know
that could be about
about
money.
Yeah.
That could be about money if
yeah.
you want to make money from it, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very appropriate, because you don't want people telling you, you can't do this, you can't write a book, you don't da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. You'll never get it published. You'll never get it online. Don't let anybody discourage you, because you'll do it. You'll do it. That's what this ancestor is saying. You'll do it. So I guess there is a monetary outcome of this, even though it's not necessarily the most important thing for you. But the money will help. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Okay,
thank
be
you
well.
Very much.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I think what they also mean by the money thing is don't get discouraged by them saying, well, you have to spend this amount of money and that amount of money to make the book go out. You know, you have to pay this and you have to pay that and blah, blah. Don't get discouraged. Just keep going. You know, don't worry about the cha-ching part. You'll get it. You'll get it in the end. It's all about money. Ooh, the world is driven by money, right? So we talked about foods. Oh, let me jump into another article. And this is not about visualization, but you can use this for visualization. Well, let's do the visualization. We got a few minutes left. Let's get to Jack Canfield's visualization. And we're just going to go right into it. We're not going to talk about the reasons for visualization, because I've rattled on and on about that, talked to you about that. So we're going to jump into his steps for visualization. So I'll give Jack Canfield, you know, he was in The Secret, Chicken Soup of the whatever, Chicken Soup of Everything. He does workshops all the time. So if you want to go see him, look up Jack Canfield, and I'm sure you can find him. So go through this following three steps. So you're ready now. If you're driving, you can't do this. Please don't. Please don't drive and do this, or ride a bike, or holding hot items in your hands. If you have a moment, or you can come back and listen to this another time. Imagine sitting in a movie theater, the lights dim, and then the movie starts. It is a movie of you doing perfectly whatever it is that you want to be doing better. See as much detail as you can create, including your clothing, the expression on your face, small body movements, and the environment and any other people that might be around. Add in any sounds that you would be hearing, traffic, music, other people talking, cheering, and finally recreate in your body any feeling you think you should be experiencing as you engage in this activity. So whatever it is. Now, Jack says the best time to do this is either in the morning or the evening, and I agree with him. So you got that first part. You're watching the movie, accomplishing whatever you want to accomplish. It could be anything, whatever you want to accomplish. It could be getting a new job. It could be meeting somebody for the first time and starting a great relationship. It could be whatever it is that you want to create in your life. So this is a visualization. Okay, the next step. Get out of your chair, not physically, but in your visualization. Walk up to the screen, open a door in the screen, and enter into the movie. So now you've been watching this movie of you doing whatever you want to accomplish. Now it's your time to walk into the movie. Now experience the whole thing again from inside of yourself, looking out through your eyes. Ooh. Instead of observing the movie, now you're in the movie. This is called embodied image rather than distant image. I like that, embodied image. It will deepen the impact of the experience. Again, we see everything in vivid detail, hear the sounds you could hear, and feel the feelings that you feel. It's kind of cool, huh? Now, the first part he talked about, was actually visualizing it and seeing it. Now you're living it. So now you've gone beyond the visualization of it, just seeing the outcome. And this can be in sports, it could be in work, it could be in a relationship, it could be, you actually can do this for an illness, but we don't have time to do that right now. If you're interested in kind of going through the process on an illness, contact me, because we can do the same thing. Finally, walk that out of the screen. So back to your seat. That is still showing the picture of you performing perfectly. Return to your seat in the theater. Reach out and grab the screen. Ooh, right hand, left hand, doesn't matter. Shrink it down to the size of a cracker. So you can see yourself grabbing that screen and shrinking it down to the size of a cracker. Small cracker, right? Then bring this miniature screen up to your mouth. Chew it up and swallow it. Ooh. Imagine that each tiny piece, just like a hologram, contains the full picture of you performing well. Now, this could be the healing process. This could be seeing yourself healing, right? Whatever's going on in your body, you could visualize the healing, see your body getting better and better every day, improving so you're perfectly well. And you can see yourself in the same scene. You go to the doctor says, there's nothing wrong with you. We've run all these tests. There's no problem. Okay, so now you're taking that scene of, wow, there's no problems with you. You're completely healed. You're A-OK. So now what you're saying is, then imagine, so contains the full picture of the performing well. Imagine all these tiny little screens traveling down into your stomach and out through the bloodstream into every cell of your body. Then imagine every cell of your body is lit up with the movie of you performing perfectly, or that every cell is seeing you healed perfectly. Body in perfect condition. All the illness gone. Psht, bye. Bye, illness. It's like one of these appliance stores windows where 50 televisions are tuned into the same channel. That's like going to Target. I see that all the time where up on the second – I have a two-story Target. On the second floor, all these TVs are lit up. Isn't it crazy when they aren't lit up to the same program and you're going, So we have finished this process. It should take less than 5 minutes. And then you can open your eyes and go about your business. So you've reprogrammed yourself for what you want to accomplish, whether it's a healing, it's a new job, it's a sporting event, it's a relationship. I mean, you could do that for a relationship. You go out to dinner for the first time. It's perfect. The evening goes really well. You end with a kiss. You end up saying, well, we'll talk tomorrow. So you take that picture and you make a little miniature picture of it. And it goes throughout the whole body. And now you're pre-programmed for that beautiful connected relationship with somebody. Even if you don't know the person, it doesn't matter. You've connected. Do you know going to dinner is one of the best ways of actually, they say that, you know, some people make the casual meeting with somebody, but they say actually going to dinner with somebody or having a light dinner or light lunch is better than just a cup of coffee, because you're actually bonding over something. The eating process is a bonding experience. So if you want to connect well on a date, make sure you get a light meal. It doesn't have to be full seven course, $75 meal. It just, something light, but you're eating together. And that's that bonding experience, like breaking bread, historically, the breaking of bread. I throw that one in as a little extra one. So if you're doing the visualization of a date, make sure you're breaking bread together. You're doing something, you're having a light meal or a light snack or, a burrito together, two burritos, right? Whatever it is, eat and be happy. Okay, I love it. Love the show today. I had fun. I appreciate you guys calling in. And so I'll be back tomorrow. I have no idea what we're doing, but I love you. Bye.